From a black background emerges the resolute face and fox-like eyes of a balding, middle-aged man. We move back slowly. Dressed in a dark suit, the man has a trim black mustache and a prominent nose and ears.
I believe in America. America has made my fortune. And I raised my daughter in the American fashion. I gave her freedom, but I taught her never to dishonor her family. She found a boyfriend, not an Italian. She went to the movies with him. She stayed out late. I didn't protest. 2 months ago, he took her for a drive with another boyfriend. They made her drink whiskey. And then they tried to take advantage of her. She resisted. She kept her honor. So they beat her like an animal. When I went to the hospital, her nose was broken. Her jaw was shattered, held together by wire. She couldn't even weep because of the pain. But I wept. Why did I weep? She was the light of my life. Beautiful girl. Now she will never be beautiful again.
In the foreground, the blurry profile of a second man behind a desk. He gestures to someone off screen.
Sorry.
The father is given a jigger of whiskey. He swallows half, then looks up to the listening man behind the desk.
I went to the police like a good American. These 2 boys were brought to trial. The judge sentenced them to 3 years in prison and suspended the sentence. Suspended the sentence. They went free that very day. I stood in the courtroom like a fool. And those 2 bastards, they smiled at me. Then I said to my wife, for justice, we must go to Don Corleone.
Behind the desk, the older man shifts forward. We see his tuxedo-dressed shoulder.
Why didn't you go to the police? Why didn't you come to me first?
What do you want of me? Tell me anything, but do what I beg you to do.
What is that?
The father glances aside skittishly, places his whiskey on the red desk blotter, then walks into the foreground. From behind and in silhouette, he whispers in Don Corleone's ear. The older Don shifts back in his leather chair. He has graying slicked back hair, a faint mustache, and eyes hooded in shadow. Frowning, he flicks the side of his mouth softly, then shakes his head at the father.
That I cannot do.
I'll give you anything you ask.
The Don scratches a gray cat on his lap.
We've known each other many years, but this is the first time you ever came to me for counsel or for help. I can't remember the last time that you invited me to your house for a cup of coffee. Even though my wife is godmother to your only child. But let's be frank, you never wanted my friendship. And you were afraid to be in my debt.
I didn't want to get into trouble.
I understand. You found paradise in America. Had a good trade, made a good living, police protected you, and there were courts of law. And you didn't need a friend like me.
He plays with the cat's paw.
But now you come to me and you say, Don Corleone, give me justice. But you don't ask with respect. You don't offer friendship. You don't even think to call me godfather. Instead, you come into my house on the day my daughter's to be married and you ask me to do murder for money.
I ask you for justice.
That is not justice. Your daughter is still alive.
Let them suffer then. As she suffers. How much shall I pay you?
The Don gives a relaxed glance toward 2 other dark-suited men at his right. He puts down the cat and moves slowly to the wide Venetian blinds behind his desk. The waiting men shift their positions, One puts down his drink.
Buonasera. Buonasera. What have I ever done to make you treat me so disrespectfully? If you'd come to me in friendship, then the scum that ruined your daughter would be suffering this very day. And if by chance an honest man like yourself should make enemies, then he would become my enemies.
He points a finger at Buonasera.
And then they would fear you.
The smaller man licks his lips, trying to swallow.
Be my friend?
The Don shrugs coolly. Buonasera bows his head.
Godfather?
He brings Don Corleone's hand to his lips.
Good.
The Don puts an arm around him.
Someday, and that day may never come, I'll call upon you to do a service for me. But until that day, accept this justice as a gift on my daughter's wedding day.
Grazie. Right.
Don Corleone smooths down the top of his hair and turns to one of his advisors.
Give this to Clemenza. I want reliable people, people that aren't going to be carried away. I mean, we're not murderers, in spite of what this undertaker says.
He sniffs the red rose on his lapel. The scene changes to an outdoor courtyard decorated with small yellow lights. A crowd of hundreds cavorts on a vast lawn. Moments later, we see the pink and black dressed wedding party posing in the sunshine. Don Corleone turns to the young man at his side, one of the two from his office.
Where's Michael?
Don't worry, it's early. Oh,
we're not taking the picture without Michael.
The photographer steps aside. The second advisor from the office approaches the young man.
What's the matter,
son? Michael.
Sonny, a handsome man with bushy brown hair and sideburns, shrugs and moves away. Now, Don Corleone greets his guests. In the crowd, the bosomy Mama Corleone dances in her pink gown. The pretty black-haired bride and her new husband playfully jostle a friend. The scene shifts to a street just outside the courtyard that's jammed with parked 1940s sedans. A slight man in a gray suit leaves his car and walks over to a parked vehicle. He takes a pad and pencil from his jacket and jots down a license plate number. Back at the reception, a squat, roundish man swings his partner. Mama Corleone joins a glum-faced man at dinner. Elsewhere, Don Corleone approaches a contingent of dark-suited men. He embraces a tan-faced man, then leads him inside. Now the roundish man dances with a white-haired man, one pair of hands locked, the other in the air. Then they switch. Grinning, the plump man tires out.
Hey, Polly! Let me have some wine! Polly! More wine!
A young man brings a pitcher.
Ah, you look terrific on the floor.
What, you a dance judge or something? What do you got to do it? We'll take a walk around the neighborhood. Do your job.
The thin, gawky Polly disappears in the crowd. Nearby, Sonny pinches a bridesmaid's cheek, then approaches a neat, black-haired woman.
Hey, son, come on, do me a favor. Watch the kids. Don't let them run wild, all right?
Well, you watch yourself, all right?
Arms crossed, the pretty Sandra glares at Sonny as he leaves. Now, on a portable dance floor, the tall, glum-faced man laughs. He dances with a little girl who stands on his feet. Don Corleone smiles at his wife as they dance before the bandstand. From a distance, Polly watches the bride graciously tuck envelopes into a white lace pouch.
20, 30 grand. And small bills, cash. In that little silk purse.
Hold on, if this was somebody else's wedding, sfortunato.
Hey, Polly! I got two gabagool. Gabagool.
Ah, it's a present. Stupid jerk.
Nearby, the photographer points his round silver flash at Barzini's table and shoots. The tan-faced Barzini stops in mid-smoke and makes a gesture. Instantly, two dark-suited men swarm over the photographer. They deliver a cartridge to Barzini, who peels out the film and crumples it into a ball. Nearby, the Don's other advisor kisses his wife.
Have to go back to work.
It's part of the wedding. No Sicilian can refuse any request on his daughter's wedding day.
The handsome, fair-haired Tom approaches the house. He passes a burly man deep in thought under a tree.
Don Carleon, I am honored and grateful that you have invited me to your home.
Now Sonny charges down the street of parked cars to the gray-suited man.
What the? Get out of here. It's a private party. Go on.
He approaches a man inside a car.
Hey, it's my sister's wedding.
The man shows his ID. Sonny rears up and spits on it. He marches back with Paulie.
God damn FBI, don't respect nothing.
A photographer shoots a picture of two bodyguards.
Hey, come here, come here, come here, come here.
Sonny grabs his camera and hurls it on the ground. Scowling, Sonny digs into his pocket and tosses a few crumpled bills at the photographer's feet, then marches away.